the highest, the fastest, and finally replaced by satellites. Tales of the SR-71 Blackbird. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for the download. The Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum's crown jewel is the Spruce Goose, and that gets a lot of attention. But there are many other treasures there as well. One of them is an SR-71 Blackbird. There's considerable mythology surrounding these planes, which were a unique asset for the United States during the Cold War. Museum Education Director Larry Wood answered a few of my questions about the Blackbird on my recent visit there with Aero TV. This is a museum piece, but it still has done some things that no other aircraft has ever done.
Well, it still holds the speed record, at least what the Air Force will tell us that it did, and that's 2,198 miles an hour. Holds the altitude record for air breathers at 85,000 plus feet, which is way up there. And what I like to tell everybody is it's really the last airplane designed with a slide rule. So when you talk about Kelly Johnson and the Skunk Works, this is the epitome of the Skunk Works. It's a magic, magic airplane.
All right, now, some of the missions this thing flew still have statistics that are amazing just to listen to. The amount of film, the speed with which it could make distance, the range, all this stuff.
One of the cameras we have has 3 miles of film in it, and it's, of course, it's not 35 millimeter. It's about 8 inches wide. And it would take off, refuel, and then would fly a two-hour mission, air refuel, fly another two-hour mission. And it takes just a little bit over an hour, a little bit less than an hour, actually, to go from Los Angeles to New York. So your two-hour mission would have been to take off in Los Angeles, fly to New York, and then turn around and fly back, then air refuel, and then do it a second time. That's pretty slick.
Now, the guys who flew this plane were on a par with the astronauts in terms of their training, equipment, and everything else.
Pretty close. They actually wore a spacesuit, more like the one the Mercury capsule guys wore, in that it's silver. It's a pressure suit because you're up so high. The airplane's pressurized, but it might not be pressurized. And so they did that kind of stuff. But there's terrific stories by the guys that flew the airplane. We've had the groups come here, try to get them every year around Father's Day, and we missed them this year. And we'll put on a little symposium here in the museum with them. And they'll tell us how it was to maintain the airplane, what it was like to fly it, some of the things they did, how it was designed. It's really fantastic to listen to them talk.
Tell us what a typical mission would go like. What was the preparation? How much time did they have before they'd launch one of these things? How much notice did they scramble them quickly or plan it way ahead? And what did they do?
Well, it took them a long time to get ready because they would, you know, they'd put them in on 100% oxygen early. They'd get them used to the pressurization. They'd be in their spacesuit. They'd get acclimatized. They'd feed them steak and eggs before they left. All the same things they do for the astronaut. It would start 24 hours before getting ready. Then they put them inside the suit and air condition them to get them ready, stick them in the airplane and finally get it started. In Okinawa, they used to start them inside the hangar, and you'd see the doors open and this black thing had come out and take off and disappear. And then when they land, they have to stay in the airplane for a significant amount of time to let the airplane cool off because it gets so hot on the outside. Plus, they had to kind of depressurize themselves and work the process backwards. So much like going on a space shuttle ride, except you didn't stay airborne that long and you didn't go quite that high. But magic stuff. And, of course, it's no guns, no missiles, no rockets, no bombs. They were alone, unarmed, and unafraid, taking pictures. And we know that there were over 4,000 surface air missiles fired at the airplane, and it never got hit. There were some crashes, but those were always something that went wrong. The enemy never got one, ever.
More with Larry Wood and the SR-71 Blackbird in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Larry Wood at the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum in McMinnville, Oregon. The museum has a real SR-71 Blackbird on display, and I have a lot of questions.
Well, now, this plane was built in 1960. The technology of the time, it went through some upgrades over the years, but you have things on static display here that you still don't know what's inside of.
Oh, well, of course. We don't know what the paint's made out of on the airplane, and I don't think the Air Force is likely to tell us. We have electronic countermeasures boxes here. Some we know are active, some we know are passive, but what they were looking for, I don't know. The only thing we do know is about the cameras, and they're kind of magic.
Why did they stop flying the SR-71 if it can do these things that nothing else can do?
Well, think about what you had to pay two lieutenant colonels and a tanker crew and special fuel and all that stuff to fly it. It was well over $1 million a mission or more. And they said, so it's cheaper to put a satellite up there. You don't have to pay to feed it, clothe it, house it, buy it a commissary or any of the rest of that stuff. And it stays there wherever you want it to put. And that was the biggest difference. Plus, there's no danger of, you know, somebody getting hurt if it does break down, and you don't have to worry about recovering the pilots if it does end up someplace and something bad happened.
All right. Now, all that being said, I understand that all the SR-71s that are out in private hands right now are on the condition that they could be called back into service at any moment.
That's true, and obviously many of the exhibits here are on loan from the Air Force Museum, so they could be called back at any time by the museum or the U.S. Naval Museum or the Marine Corps Museum. If they want them back, they can get them back. And yeah, all the pieces are here. Are they going to call them back? I don't know. It'd be a lot harder to put them together now. But I think NASA still has a couple that they're hiding someplace that we won't know about. But who knows?
Well, one thing's for sure. If you're looking up in the sky watching for something black, it'll probably be going too fast for you to see it anyway.
Well, you might be able to see it, but it's not going to be there very, very long. And there are great stories about that. And it's you got to get those guys to tell you those stories. They're great fun.
Larry, thanks for filling us in on some of the history of this great machine.
Sure, this is a cool place. Thank you very much for coming.
You can walk right up to the SR-71 Blackbird and take a look for yourself at the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum in McMinnville, south of Portland, in Oregon's Willamette Valley. Find out more at www.sprucegoose.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.